Thank you for serving us here today. Well, I'm going to do something that I don't do very often. And I was thinking, this would anybody here with a penny to do something that I hadn't planned? But the Spirit told me that this morning. And so I'm going to go with the Spirit. Those of you with a Presbyterian background might be thinking, well, you should have worked harder at preparing, and you would have figured it out ahead of time. But anyway, I hope that all of you will respond. I've got my Bible in hand. You know, I do kind of miss, in the digital age, well, we don't see enough Bibles. So there's something very special about just, I've got my Bible and I'm going to read. So our text is a very short one. So I'm going to read the context, and we won't have it. So we'll just leave the Grace Wind slide up there. And that's our series we're in, and we're we went on a broad brush sweep through the book, and now we're circling back, and we're going word for word in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I'm going to read the context. So I'm reading Galatians 5, verse 16, if you have your Bibles, and I kind of missed the rustling of pages. That used to happen when you announce the text. But anyway, I'm not scolding you or anything, but I just want you to listen. So this is the word of the Lord, Galatians 5:16. So I advise you, and I'm reading from the NLT, the first edition of NLT. It's a little different from the online edition of the NLT. This is the word of the Lord. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. We're just singing about that. Holy Spirit, come. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. But when you are directed by the Holy Spirit, you are no longer subject to the law. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, your lives will produce these evil results: sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure, idolatry, participation in demonic activities, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, divisions, the feeling that everyone is wrong except those in your own little group, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other kinds of sins. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of a life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, this comes to our text, but when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here there is no conflict with the law. Then verse 20, I'll read the next two verses. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. If we are now living by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Well, the fruit that we're talking about today is fruit of patience. And as I warned you last week, I don't have quite the same triumphalism in speaking about patience as I did about joy. In fact, I feel I'm putting myself at risk in some ways by preaching on patience. And my imagination kind of went wild as I was thinking about the risk I was putting in myself to here in speaking of patience. One of the wild thoughts that flashed to my mind was, what if my wife Diane would pop up with a sign, "Don't listen to this guy speaking of patience"? That was one thought. Another thought I had, someone in a loud whisper say, "This guy honked at me when I was slow to leave the traffic light." And so, yes, the examples of me failing the patience test are many. But I was encouraged by a story, an anecdote from the life of Billy Graham, the Billy Graham family. Billy and Ruth Graham were driving with their family on vacation, and they came to road construction, and they bounced along through this. And finally, they came to that welcome sign, which Ruth Graham, the matriarch of the family, read to the whole family. It's the end of construction. Thank you for your patience. And then she announced to the family, "I want that to be on my gravestone." And so if you go to the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, North Carolina, you will see the grave marker for Ruth Graham, which reads, "End of construction, thank you for your patience." Well, I hope we'll have that view of ourselves, that we are all people under construction. And I hope that we will extend patience to ourselves. The first application that I think is a very important one, we get impatient with ourselves, and it gets us into all kinds of difficulty, into bad moods and down bad pathways. So you have to be patient with yourself, but as long as you're reaching forward toward a goal of growing in Christ, don't lose your patience with yourself. And then let's extend patience to those around us. And it's so easy to be impatient with people who are impatient. See, it kind of escalates so easy, right? When you're driving along and somebody's impatient, and then somebody else is impatient about the one who's impatient, the first thing you have a full-scale unhappy situation going. Well, so my goal here to this morning is to stir up within you a desire to keep growing in patience, to identify that as a very important quality in your life, an important trait. We all need patience. And so how can I stir up an interest for you to raise it out rather than just kind of feeling kind of lame about it and say, "Well, I'm just not a patient guy or a patient person," and kind of give up on yourself. No, highlight it and say, It's an important value, an important gift of the Spirit. And to review quickly the theology of the Holy Spirit, when we commit to follow Jesus, God comes to live in us in the Holy Spirit and brings all the attributes of Jesus with Him. And so we do have patience inside us along with all the other qualities. And so the issue isn't for us to get it, it's just to live out that gift that God has given us. So how can I interest you in making that, highlighting that goal, or reviving that goal, recommitting to the goal of being a patient person? Well, what I came up with, I believe the Spirit guided me, is to hold before you some of the benefits of patience. And I have four benefits that will come to us, blessings, gifts that will come to us if we commit and make that a goal and allow the Holy Spirit to direct us. And so I have the four benefits. The first one is patience expresses and builds our faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoice in our confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying." It's interesting to me how patience and faith are connected. They're interrelated. They reinforce each other. Now, if you want patience, you have to have faith. If you want to grow in faith, you have to have patience. But the two are intricately connected. And so one of the benefits of developing patience it strengthens your faith. And unless your faith connects with patience, it's going to get stalled. And so you open the door to growing in faith. And you wouldn't be here today if you didn't want to grow in faith. That's what worship is about, expressing our faith and growing our faith. One of the ways of reinforcing the importance of patience is to give you an illustration of what happens, what can happen if you lose patience. And as I thought of Bible examples, I was thinking in the Old Testament of the example of Abraham and Sarah. Let me read from Genesis chapter 15, there we have it. Sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, for I will protect you and will reward you, and your reward will be great." But Abraham replied, "O sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you give me no children, Eliezer of Damascus, a servant in my household, will inherit all my wealth. You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." And then we forward. Now, there is no record of what happened when Abraham told his wife Sarah. We can assume that he did tell her about it. But then in chapter 16, he says, "Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abraham, 'The Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her.' And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal." Well, what a breach of patience. What a breach of faith. As the story unfolded, Hagar did bear a son, and they named him Ishmael. And then Sarah had a son, and they named him Isaac. And this all because Abraham and Sarah did not stick with God's timeline. God was going to work it out. But they lost patience and didn't have enough faith to wait. And so they brought this misery into their lives. Because immediately that household was in turmoil. And the beautiful handmaid Hagar, who had been very compliant with Sarah and won her favor, instantly changed. And she started harassing her boss and wouldn't take orders from her boss. And Sarah and Hagar started hating each other, and poor Abraham is trying to solve the problem. And you can read the story. It's just a big, big mess. So not only did that breach of faith, that impatience, result in misery in their immediate lives, it resulted in generational conflict. In fact, to this day, because Ishmael is the father of the Arab nation and Isaac is the father, patriarch of the Jewish nation. And those two nations have had a conflict going for all these generations. Now, I think it would be a little too far a stretch for us to kind of think that the weight of the future well-being of mankind rests on our decisions and on our patience. But it would not be wrong for us to realize that when we lose patience, there are consequences, some of which may be immediate and some of it may be quite far-reaching. And so God calls us to be patient. And so patience is, first of all, a huge issue in terms of our spiritual development. It's hard for us to grow in Christ without patience. And so I encourage you to make this a goal, that patience, you will learn to wait. And if you read through the Psalms, how many Psalms have that theme in it of waiting on the Lord? And the test of patience comes in big things, in terms of our prayer life, has a huge impact there, and also in all the trivial things that trip us up, in our driving, in lineup, supermarket behavior, what happens when the children are misbehaving, and with all these little things, we want to surrender them to God and wait, learn to be patient, not to react. And I'm going to be saying a little more about that in my next point, which is patience indicates sound character and maturity. James chapter 1, verse 2 or 3 says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested," or we could say your patience is tested, "your endurance has a chance to grow." We have a chance to mature. You know, if we put the patience issue, how you're doing in, on the patient, on an age scale, we don't expect infants to be patient. You know, an infant, immediately when they're hungry, they're not patient. They'll cry. When they're in their discomfort, they cry. We don't expect that. I can't resist telling you a little bit about our latest grandson, Jimmy. He'll be 6 months this week. And they live in Toronto, so we don't have regular contact. But here's little Jimmy, the crafty guy. When the mother puts him down, he had noticed during the daytime, I guess, that his mother was so enamored with him laughing. And as she tried to get him laughing, she would just spend endless time laughing with him. So when Erica puts Jimmy down, she starts laughing. Because he knows the mother won't find it easy to leave him when he's laughing out loud. Isn't that just the sweetest little exceptional grandson? Well, yes, children are impatient. The point that I have to admit, and it's kind of shocking to me, that we are so quick to be impatient when we realize that impatience is childlike behavior. It's childishness. The call to be patient is a call to put aside childish things. And God wants us to learn to absorb things that don't go our way. You know, impatient people cannot be fully trusted. Because if you give in to impatience, the sky's the limit of what might happen. Tempers flare. Things get broken. Road rage leads to motor vehicle crashes or personal injury. Jobs get ditched. Careers are ruined. Yes, patience amounts is really all about putting off childish and learning to control ourselves. And I'm going to have more to say about that. Anger is often triggered by a lack of patience. Pride is exposed by our impatience. You know, when we feel that our entitlements are not being delivered the way they should, we lash out with nastiness. And so when we're faced with something not going our way, we have a choice, according to this passage, to respond according to the natural evil desires and lash out and be nasty about it, or we can be patient about it. We can be calm and we don't react. And that's the faith building way, and that's the character building way, and it's a sign of sound character and maturity. You know, culture works against us. It's difficult to develop patience when so much of in our culture, so often, impatience is seen as a virtue. We admire people who are impatient. Businesses, after all, pay huge bonuses to their executives that are impatient about getting results, and even at the expense of hurting other people. You'll hear people say, "Well, I may be impatient, but I get things done." There was a Calvin and Hobbes comic strip featured the father sitting at a computer saying, "It used to be that if a client wanted something done in a week, it was considered a rush job, and he would be lucky to get it. And now with all the modern conveniences, modems, faxes, cell phones, and social media, everybody wants things instantly." Then Calvin walks by holding a microwave dinner reading the instructions. It takes 6 minutes to microwave this. And then he mutters, who's got that kind of time? See, we live in an impatience age of, and it's, impatience is seen as a virtue. Yesterday, Vancouver Sun had an article by a neurotherapist who had done her PhD dissertation in studying the activity of the brain. There's a lot of research on the brain going on right now. And so this person said that she measured the effect of screen time, being on the screen, what it did to the activity of the brain. And she concluded, this woman, you can check the article in yesterday's Vancouver Sun, that screen time speeds up brain activity. Our brains are being conditioned to being on full alert all the time. And this is associated with anxiety, insomnia, adrenal fatigue, and general malaise. So it's easy how our lack of patience is a natural response to our fast-moving environment. So when God calls us to patience, He's calling us to slow down. And God is making the point that His involvement in our life is intended to improve the quality of our life, to increase the enjoyment of our life. God's work in our lives brings the betterment of our life. And that's the biggest lie of Satan is perpetuating the idea that if you follow God and if you really get serious about following the Spirit, it will decrease the pleasure and joy in your life. And that's a lie. The thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. But I have come, Jesus says, to bring you life and life more abundantly. Life to the full, whatever translation you want to use there. And so the call to patience really is for our benefit. And as we grow in character and maturity, we will have the blessings of that. Proverbs 14:29 says, a patient person has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man or person displays folly. Then Proverbs 15:18 says, a hot-tempered person stirs up dissension, but a patient person calms a quarrel. Yes, patience will bring us a greater enjoyment of life, and as you embrace that, it will move you forward. Well, the next point I have is patience illustrates personal discipline. Psalm 40, verse 1 says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and He turned to me and heard my cry. Patience, like all the other virtues, comes about, is produced in us by the power of God and by our response to the power of God. Listen to Philippians 2:13. It says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. So God works it. God stirs up the desire. God makes it possible for us to have patience. But we have to implement it. And so there is this interaction between the power of God and the work of the Spirit in us and our own efforts. I know the book of Galatians is all about grace. It's all about grace. We're saved by grace, not by our works. Yet, here in this section, Paul is calling us to be open and to make an effort to follow and release the work of the Spirit. Now, our success in producing the Spirit depends on God's work in us, but then on us responding and following through on it. And there is a discipline required to keep choosing that. Diane and I spent the first part of this week at a family reunion. And one of the American relatives was there. It was a 27-year-old single guy. And we had a delightful conversation with him, and don't see him often. And he told us that he had just finished a 6-year stint in the Marines, the U.S. Marines. And in conversation, he told us the reason why he had signed up for military service was so that he could learn self-discipline. He felt he had not learned it sufficiently as a child. He's an only child. And so he kind of felt he didn't have enough self. So he signed up for military service, and he seemed quite pleased with the result, and he was moving forward in his career. Well, personal discipline is an essential component of success, and that requires patience, and patience produces self-discipline as well. And God wants us to have that patience and that self-discipline. You know, as I was thinking about examples of applying patience, I was thinking how important it is in the married life, in marriage. Most marriages, there will be patches you go through, times when it's really tough. And in some cases, you might wonder whether you'll make it. If you wait, if you're patient, and if you pray, trust, the majority of times, those things will, you'll get through it. And I don't want to judge the people that have had a failed marriage, but God can redeem that. And he doesn't want you to have a sense of guilt about that and just realize that God is going to work all things together for good. Even our mistakes, he can work together for good. But patience in marriage, and maybe that's the most difficult place. That's where I feel I'm most vulnerable on the patient file. Impatience with family members, impatience with Diane, if you can imagine such a thing. But fortunately, she is very patient and has put up with me, and she's a star. Where's Diane right now? She's usually sitting right here looking adoringly at me and smiling and when I'm up here. But she's in children's ministry up there. She's a 70-year-old woman. She's done children's ministry all her life. Last night, she was up late making her props, and this morning, she was up making her props. In addition to making the potato salad for the, she's just the consummate pastor's wife, I'll tell you. Anyway, so there she is. So when you see her, just tell her you appreciate that what she does. You have to pay, the church has to pay me to be up here. You get her for free. And it might not be completely obvious who's making the bigger difference. Anyway, so there's a little puff for Diane. Sincere. Patience. Yes, I'm glad she has not only the persona of patience, but also it goes deeper than just a persona. Okay, patience in relationship, patience in finances. You know, our life really is controlled to a large degree, determined of how finances go. If we learn patience, don't buy things you can't afford. Be patient in getting your education. It takes patience to get the right training. It gets patience on the job to earn your way up to a raise. Have patience, and it will come. And so the secret of being financially well off is spend a little less than you make. Do that for a long period of time, and you will be financially well set. So patience in the finances, patience in marriage, patience in your everyday life, when you're going to work, when you're driving. Don't get tripped up with the little things and how easy it is to let little things over which we have no control get us all steamed up. And I must say that part I kind of learned in retirement. There was a brief period when I was fully retired, and I'd be driving, and my first impulse in traffic was to tense up. And I said, why am I doing that? I got all day. So, and I can't do anything about it. So that was one of the beautiful things about being fully retired. But I'm quite okay right now with not being fully retired. But it's even if you're not retired, what can you do about it? Why? What's the point of getting steamed up? Okay, that's let's be patient. It honors God. Patience is required if you want to be successful in life. You can't be a hothead that's impatient with everybody. It will block your path. But God wants you to succeed. Learn patience. It will help you. Patience validates all the other fruits of the Spirit. Colossians 3:12 says, since God shows you to be holy people he loves. That itself, that's a beautiful sentence. God chose you to be holy people. And he loves us. With you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Or if we look at the fruits as they're listed in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It seems to me that a lack of patience could easily cancel out all our best efforts in the others, all the other fruit. Take patience out of those fruits, and you could ruin everything. And on the other hand, you might be lacking in some of the others, but if you have patience, it will redeem your deficiencies in some of the other qualities of the Spirit. Proverbs 25:15. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can break bones. Yes, it's powerful. Patience is powerful, and God wants us to be the beneficiaries of that. And so my big point here today is motivating us, stirring us up to make that a goal. Say, I can be more patient. I want to be more patient, and God wants us to have that. Coming back to the highway sign, end of construction, thank you for your patience. For us, the sign cannot read and cannot be end of construction. Our sign still is under construction. Thank you for your patience. Let's be patient with ourselves. Let's be patient with one another. And so I am giving you a gift today. It is a picnic Sunday. You know, we're going to the party at the Hiltons. And so I think I might have set a record for brevity here. And so I didn't want to test your, test your patience by being long, but listening to sermons also requires some patience. The worship team's going to come, and I'm going to pray a prayer for you. Lord, we confess that we imperfectly follow your Spirit, and we just here want your Spirit, we want your forgiveness, and we want to open the door to your Spirit. Lord, I pray that people that are going to be home, and there might be tension in the car that's there from previous arguments or discussion, that somehow you'll let just the peace and the patience spill out, and that there will be a reconciliation. And for as we go about our work, and wherever we are challenged, wherever we're tempted to be annoyed by circumstances, that we'll remember your Spirit is in us. Your Spirit's going to empower us. And so that we'll be benefiting in ways that you want to improve the quality of your life, our lives, for your glory, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.